This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, all part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks. Welcome to Auto Talk Radio this morning. Here we are, January 9th already.
The year went by really quick.
Well, only 9 days have gone by of the year.
I'm so talking far. About last year.
Seemed like it is a weird year. And by 2020.
Yeah, but this year seemed to start off really weird too, hasn't it?
Interesting. I'll give you that. I don't know. Here we are, and this is what we do.
Yes.
But we're going to talk about cars today because that's what we love. We appreciate everybody joining us. We hope everybody had an amazing Christmas holiday and New Year's, and everybody was safe. I'm sure you were. There wasn't any place to go if you live here in the wonderful state of California. So, you know, you hung out with family or did whatever you do. Yeah, very interesting. But here we are.
Right? Yes.
Okay. So we do appreciate everybody joining us here this morning. We are live here, taking calls, of course. Give us a call, 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Brendan loves to answer the phone, and he's over there just waiting to hear from y'all. So anything automotive-related, please give us a shout. We're happy to talk to you about. 2021, here we are. Car repair is kind of still the same as it was in 2020. We're still working on them and fixing them and all that. Are you raising your hand? You want to speak?
Yeah.
What would you like to say?
Because there is something in the car that's happened in the last couple of weeks.
Really?
I mean, well, because they came out and they said that the new richest man in the world is.
Oh, he, yeah.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, he got surpassed by, he surpassed Jeff Bezos. I think that was just this week, right?
Yes, which tells me,
two days ago, yeah.
That's a lot of Teslas sold. So then I asked the question.
He's involved in a lot of
I know, things. But I asked the question, though. You know that this is what somebody told me, and I haven't looked it up and done the research on it, but somebody told me that Tesla actually sold more cars this year than Toyota and Honda combined, which is a good thing. I mean, it's an American company, so
I'd have to look that up.
I have to look it up, and I don't want it, but that's what I was told after, because I was like,
Brandon's looking it up right now.
Yeah, but I was thinking to myself, that's a lot of, I mean, if he became the richest man in America and he or in the world and he passed Bezos, I'm like, Amazon sells, I mean, you see a lot of Amazon stuff being sold every day. You know what I'm saying? You get to see the trucks and all that. I was like, that's a lot of Teslas sold if that's true.
Well, also Jeff Bezos lost half of his net worth a few years ago because he divorced his wife.
That's true.
She got
true.
$38 billion of it or something crazy like that. So yeah, he lost half it. So I mean, keep that in mind, too.
Yeah, but still, he was still in that position until...
Well, he's still working on becoming the richest man in the world again. I'm sure he will, because Amazon is still cranking along, and she was bought out, so she's gone.
Yes.
Although, this year also, talking about rich people and cool things they've done, she gave away billions of dollars in December to all kinds of organizations.
I don't know if she was actually bought out, though, because actually started that company together, so...
I don't know anything about that either. All I know
they did. They started that in the garage.
They said her settlement for the divorce was $38 billion. So
it's still a nice chunk.
No, I don't think she'll ever have to go to work.
No.
She won't be a greeter at Walmart, that's for sure. So all good. All good. But yes, you are correct. He did surpass, Elon Musk did surpass Jeff Bezos and is now.
Well, I mean, this would be a good thing,
I
too.
I think the richest man in the world. Or richer. I don't know that. I don't know that he's the richest man in the world, but I do know that net worth is larger than Jeff Bezos as of this week.
Well, I think they categorize that stuff as families, person. You know what I mean? Because technically, it's not a family thing. It's, I mean, him so far.
I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But anyway, correct. So I don't know. I don't know what else. Elon Musk is involved in a lot of things other than Tesla. Also, I believe. So, but Tesla's also funded by the federal government. You know that, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, if it actually sold that many cars, it's an American company. So American company is in the lead again. Yeah, so.
That'd be good. That'd be good. That'd be nice, though. So we'll see.
I wouldn't doubt, though. There's a lot of Teslas on the road right now.
There's a lot of them. I also saw that somebody with a 2021 Tesla requested service at our Miramar location through the internet. I was thinking, oh, you got the wrong place, man. Because obviously that car's under warranty. Why? What?
Maybe they're just wanting to check by somebody else other than Tesla. So
maybe that could be. But most of those running around on the road right now are still under Tesla's warranty, so we don't see them.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, but all good, all good. You know, if you have a use for one of those, there you go, a little putter around town or whatever.
Well, it's convenience.
Like I said, we told a story one time about my buddy and his friend that had one, and they used it to tow the motorcycle trailer, and how well that worked out all the way up to Oregon.
Well, and you know what? I would still have a gasoline car to do family trips or whatever, or trips like that in.
Yeah, my truck would be preferable for a trip like that.
But around town?
Yeah, I mean, it's good gig, so. Guess where some of it's going to. I don't think everything's going to be electric. And I know we have that Mr. Newsom signed in that bill that in 15 years there's supposed to be no gas cars being sold in the state. But what it's looking like, they were talking about him this morning, he may not be around because they're recalling him. So maybe they'll get rid of that law too. Who knows? We'll see what happens as far as that goes. But interesting stuff. Anyway, folks, give us a call here this morning. Anything automotive related, we're happy to talk to you about. We are talking about how poor vehicle maintenance could wreck your wallet. One of the important things here. But you can give us a call here at 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Let's take Bruce and Carlsbad real quick.
Good morning. And hey, I'm the first caller of the year.
You are the first caller. You win, Bruce. Good morning.
Yeah. Hey, a couple questions. One, when I'm riding a bike and I come to a stop sign or a signal, and I hear cars nowadays, it's as if they had stalled, but I'm sure it's not, that you hear the starter motor and then the car goes. People aren't turning their cars off. Is this a hybrid that it senses that the battery needs charging and you're hearing the starter motor?
No. So a lot of gasoline vehicles these days are called stop-start vehicles, and almost all of them, I think, come that way now. Just like if you buy a new Ford Ranger, they shut off at stops, and the minute you take your foot off the brake, the car starts back up.
Oh, I had no idea. What's this called?
It's called stop-start, but it's almost on all vehicles produced now. So, yeah, so no, though that doesn't necessarily denote that it's a hybrid. So it could be just a regular vehicle. You know, the company purchased a newer Ford Ranger. It's on it. There is a button to turn it off, obviously, each time you start the car, but you have to manually hit the button to turn it off. Yeah. My personal opinion, it's kind of annoying. But as far as, and it also, that's a lot of wear and tear on the poor starter, I would think. But that's my opinion. But the it's an emissions thing.
Oh, and probably improving the gas mileage too, right?
Well, yeah, because the car's
Caffey standard and whatnot.
Exactly. So that's one of the reasons
it's on there. That explains that. And you hear it. I'm hearing it all the time now on a bicycle. And then the question I had is wheel offset, through the 80s, prior to the 80s, let's say up to about 2000, wheel offsets, you would see what's called a deep dish wheels. And
correct.
That's absolutely gone now. All of the manufacturers have that positive offset that brings the lugs right out to the end of the outside of the wheel now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, it kind of makes it tough if you want to replace older wheel tire sets with a newer. You can't do it without the spacers and whatnot.
Correct.
But why did the manufacturers do that? What was the benefit of it? I mean, like on an SUV, you'd have to have a longer front axle.
Why do they have a wheel offset, you're telling me?
Why are on today's vehicles, SUVs, for example, the offsets, the positive offsets are in the neighborhood of 45 or so, where back in the, let's say 2000, they were like 10 to 25.
Yeah, they're more or positive now on front wheel drives than anything, to be honest with you. And what you're talking about is previously there used to be a negative offset in the older days, correct?
That's right.
Okay, correct. Okay.
I think the reason they do that is to keep the tire under the fender well. That way you're not throwing rocks and stuff like that. The manufacturer can put wider tires on it, keep it under the fender well. And that way it's, you know, because technically you're not supposed to have tire outside of the fender well anyways, according to the, you know, highway patrol. Otherwise you have to go to mud flaps and stuff like that. So that's why they're going to that, so they can put a wire tire on it for better handling and keep it under the fender wells.
Well, and also the axle length of the axle is longer when you're dealing with a positive offset, typically, which stability-wise on mounting to the axle makes a wider stance for the frame to the axle, which I presume... helps in handling and performance and all that of the vehicle also, to be honest with you. I think we lost him. I don't know. Are you there, Bruce? No, he's gone. Okay, we lost him. Sorry, Bruce, that we lost you. But anyway, I think that's part of it. But yeah, so hopefully that answers your questions. We were talking about the stop start on a vehicle. Not all those vehicles are hybrids, obviously. A lot of them are just regular gasoline vehicles that these days, that when they come to a light, they'll turn off. And then the minute you take your foot off the brake, they turn right back on and off you go. So that's common on a lot of vehicles these days.
Because most of them cars that they're doing that for is like for like cities like L.A. where people sit in a lot of stop and go traffic and the car just sits there and idle. So, I mean, it does save a little bit of gas. I think it's more for environmental reasons they do that. That way all these cars aren't sitting there on the freeway just idling or in town or whatever.
Very true. Emissions-wise, I seriously think it has a lot to do with it.
Like New York City or something like that.
And it probably gas mileage too, but I don't know. But they don't just sell them there. They all come that way now.
Yes.
So,
I
don't care if you live in Wyoming, you got one stop sign, your car's only going to shut off once. But
no, but that's why they have the button for those guys. So they just turn it. There's no sense in having your car turn off just for hitting one stop sign in the morning.
Why would they even bother with the button? Because it never shuts off unless you stop.
I know, but they hit one stop sign and it shuts off and then fires back up again.
I don't think the button's for them. The button's for me, people that it annoys. Seriously. That's why I push the button.
They do kind of crazy things, though. Like, you know, that now they're filling the evaporator with, like, a wax. So that way when the car's not running, that wax holds the coldness so you know your air conditioner doesn't slow down.
They're sealing it, yeah.
Well, no, they're actually using it in there so it'll freeze it. That way, as air's being pushed across the...
Is that how the AC keeps working?
Yes.
Oh, gotcha. Very
they're
cool.
Doing weird, they're
you
doing weird things
that
like
I did
that.
Not know that. Very cool. But they've come up with a lot of cool things that kind of worked. Yes. And then they had to. So anyway, all right, let's take our first break here real quick. But folks, hold tight, Mike and Ron. We will definitely get to you here shortly. Give us a call, 1-888-344-1170. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer and K-Praise San Diego.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock, and the house with me is my co-host, Mr. Kevin Bowersock.
Good morning.
Good automotive morning. 1-888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, you can give us a shout about. We're happy to talk to you about, for sure. Do want to remind you guys, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved and STARS certified for over 28 years now. That's probably why your beard's gray, Kevin. Along with West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson Avenue, AAA approved, smog certified out in East County, taking care of folks for over 7 years now, doing an amazing job out there in East County. West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, right in Central San Diego, AAA approved and smog certified, taking care of folks for over 4 years now, doing an amazing job there too. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, 5726 Miramar Road and Eastgate Mall, right across the freeway from us here. AAA approved and STAR certified for smog, also like the Escondido store. Taking care of folks here in the Golden Triangle for, heading up to 2 years now here shortly. All of us, the West Automotive Group, my employees, myself, and everybody come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. That is, we believe in the same philosophy. We never put money ahead of people. Very important to us. Treat everybody like family. Take care of your vehicles like your family. Stop in to have your vehicle service repaired and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. The West Automotive Group is also proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs on approved credit. We're here to help you. So great way to go. And you can always reuse the card for the West Automotive Group when you get one. And you can use the 6 months no interest over and over again. It's not a one-time thing. If you think you have a transmission issue, hop on westautomotivegroup.com and get an appointment and get in and take care of our and take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis by our transmission experts, and we'll get you helped out because we see way too many vehicles that people have recommended a transmission replacement or repair, and it's something external or something that just be repaired, not a complete replacement. That too, we offer free shuttle rides to or from work or home. And low-cost rental vehicles at all four of our locations. So we're here to help you out. We also have COVID protocols in place to keep people separated, safe. We schedule everybody out for pickups and drop-offs. We make sure and wipe everything down and sanitizing things when we give them back to you. Keeping our employees safe and keeping you safe as a client, which is very important to us. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram by going to westautomotivegroup.com. That's westautomotivegroup.com. From there, you can check us out. You can also click on Auto Talk Radio and listen live, or you can go check out all of our podcasts or for each show are posted there. Or if you want to grab the podcast off of a podcast site, podcasts are also available through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Deezer, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com, and TuneIn. So any of those places, you can pick up the Auto Talk Radio podcast. We're here to help you out. So anyway, you can also email us anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. We're here to take care of you. So just let us know. This morning, 1-888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, we're happy to talk to you about. That's 888-344-1170. Let's grab Ron in Carlsbad. Good morning, Ron. You there, Ron?
How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing amazing. How about you?
You hear me okay?
Yes, now we can.
Good.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Love you guys' show. Hey, so I got a 2001 F-150. I got it about 3 years ago. I was really lucky. Engine was rebuilt. I have all the paperwork on it. So the engine actually only has about 50,000 miles on it. So that's why I kind of put up with it. But anyways, I had a heater core leak that I put some leak stop into the coolant, and it actually did a really good job of stopping the leak. But I went to get my oil changed a few weeks ago, and the mechanic came up to me and said, "Hey, sir, you want to come look at this? I think you may have some oil in your coolant." He opened up the reserve tank, and you know, there was this gook inside there. And I was like, you know, I doubt that. You know, this is a pretty new engine, and it was actually replaced because the Ford had an issue with the engines, the 5.4 liter, where the I guess a plug was failing and coolant was mixing with the oil, and that's why the engine was replaced in the first place. So I said, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe it is oil, but I put this stuff into it to fix the heater core. Would that stuff gunk up in the reserve tank over time?
Absolutely, absolutely, okay. And that's most likely what it is. And just to let you know, we strongly don't recommend. What kind of stop leak did you put in it?
I put in those it was like those pellets, those brown pellets. That's what I was told was the best.
Yeah. That so the heater core is going to start leaking again eventually here, But just okay. And heads up on that. How long or when, I don't know. And if you're in a situation that you're like stuck or something, it has its uses. I get it. The only problem is it does gunk up the cooling system like that. Also, that stuff you're seeing there, the bottom of your radiator, several rows, have that stuff all plugged inside of it also now. So over time, it causes issues. So usually what we recommend is if you have to use that stuff to get repaired, whatever's leaking, as soon as possible and get it flushed out as quick as possible. But that's what you're seeing, though. I can almost guarantee it is the residual of the stop leak.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And then I guess I kind of want to revert back to another show that I heard you on, where you were talking about the heater core, I think particularly about some of the older Fords, and about I guess something with the electrical ground, and possibly, you know, if I replace the heater core, you know, which is a very expensive job for an older a car like that, mm-hmm. is it just going to start leaking again because of the issue that you were talking about on that show?
Well, what needs to happen to that is usually on those we add an extra ground, and you have to flush the cooling system until you get the electrolysis levels down, because those Fords have an aluminum heater core, and they had a ton of problems with what's called electrolysis, and that's what you're talking about, and that's what we were discussing on that show. Okay. But you can flush it out and drop the levels of it, and once you get it dropped, add an extra ground, usually prevents that problem from happening again.
Okay.
But all cars.
Right, thank you, Brian.
No problem. All cars create electrolysis. Just those had a grounding issue that it was a lot worse. And like I said, the only way to prevent another failure is put in a new heater core and flush the heck out of the thing till the electrolysis levels are down, and then add that extra ground. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for listening, man. Have yourself a safe, wonderful weekend. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you.
You got it. Take care. Bye bye. Great question when it comes to heater cores on those. We've seen quite a few of those with that problem.
Yes.
Yeah. Stop leak is a concern of mine. It can cause several other issues and radiator failures. And the other thing you can do is plug up the bottom of the radiator rows and cause a car to let it run a little warmer over time, which can cause issues. Does it have its place? It can if you're stuck somewhere. You know, I've done all kinds of things to get me back from someplace I'm at. But usually then you have to correct that problem too. So just one of those things to keep in mind. The heater core on that truck is an expensive repair, though. I think it's like 8 hours, huh?
Depending on what truck it is, it could be.
It was a 2001 F-150.
I think they were longer in them.
They were longer. Yeah, if it was like a 96, those are the ones that had the little door, remember? And it took like an hour to replace the heater core.
If even that.
Yeah, you could slide them in and out. It was easy. So somebody prepared that one for having heater core issues, but those didn't really have heater core issues, did they?
No.
that's why it was easy to get to.
Exactly.
That's the way it works. All right, let's grab Mike real quick. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man, how's it going? Is it cold there?
Pretty good. No, it's freezing. It's freezing. 26 degrees.
Woo! That's all right. It's 37 here this morning when I rolled out, so... But
man, that's cold. Cold for you guys.
Oh, it's cold, but it'll be. It was 72 yesterday in the afternoon, so I'm sure it'll warm up quickly. That's
man,
one of the
you're
things.
Killing me.
Living in the desert by the ocean, you know, temperature goes up and down a bit in the wintertime, but it's all good.
Well, yeah, it's all good.
Okay,
all relative.
What you got going on?
I think we got a 07 Chevy Express 3500 running some brake lines. You know, they rust here in the old rust belt.
Mm-hmm.
Ran some lines on it for the right front to the EBCM there. Wanting to know, what is the probability of having a scan tool in concert with that to bleed that?
What year is it again? I
believe it's an 07 3500 Express van.
Trying to remember if that requires
are you having a problem bleeding it? I mean,
I haven't bled it yet, but I'm just wondering if I'm going to have to use that.
It just depends. Some of them, you know, the weird thing is some of them you can put the scanner on it and after you bleed it, I've had the ones where you can bleed it with the scanner, but I've also just went ahead and manually bled it. And then I tried the scanner on it afterwards just to see. And it didn't change anything. You know, it seemed to bleed okay without the scanner, too.
Yeah, sometimes sometimes you have to use the scanner to open and close the valving though on those to make sure and get all the air out.
Yeah.
Which is always a good idea if that's part of the procedure. I don't know on that one. I'd have to actually look it up. From year to year, they change so many different things when it comes to that some do, some didn't. Sometimes they went to that and then they went away from it on different models to not having to. So it's hard to say, Mike.
Gotcha.
I don't remember.
I'll look it up, maybe I better.
Do you have a scan tool for that vehicle?
I've got a generic scan tool. I don't have like a Tech 2, which I wish I had, but I had it at one time. But
do you have a Snap-on?
No, it's just a generic. I don't know where he got it. The boss man got it.
Gotcha.
It's better than an AutoZone, but it's not quite a manufacturer type scan tool. But
gotcha. The only reason I was going to say, usually I'm one of the scanners that we have always is always the latest model. A Snap-on one, and they have gotten a lot better with all their manufacturer stuff, as far as that goes. But that the whole scanner thing is a whole nother show with the stuff we're coming into. I just had to register everything for the gateways for Chrysler and all that. But all the Snap-ons will cross the gateways so that we'll be able to talk to those vehicles, the late model ones that we're now seeing that have all the security features on them. So, that's another that's an expensive show there for sure.
No doubt.
Scan equipment.
Hey, keep on keeping on, guys. I appreciate the info and keep it up, man.
Hey, thanks, man. Good talking to you. Hey, try to stay warm out there, all right?
Will do, man.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Take care.
Yeah, it's cold. So me and Tim and Matt were having a conversation about this at cars and working on cars where it where they salt the roads and I feel for him that brake work there usually meant, well, number one, it was a funny story. Like Tim's like, somebody was telling me there are shops that have like we have an air hose that comes down that hooks up to that next to the air hose is an acetylene torch at every bay. I'm all, no lie.
Yeah,
because those cars, you don't get anything off without heating it because it's so rusted on.
Yeah, you got to break the rust.
Oh God, it's terrible. The thing I don't miss is that what I remember putting cars that you bring them inside, so your shop's heated. So in there, you don't have waste oil pickup because California. You burn it in an oil burner you save it up, burn it during the winter to heat the shop. So that's how you keep the cost of heating the shop down. So you got a doors that open and close, and the cars come in and you put them up. But when you get them in there and you're working on the car and it's 70 degrees inside there and all that stuff starts to melt off the car and it's got salt in it and it drips and it gets in your eyes and it burns. See, I don't miss any of that being here in California. I just don't, man. I don't. So I do feel his pain working on some of that stuff. And every time you do brakes, you got to replace all the brake lines because every one of them twists off or breaks or yeah, I'm good. When I first moved here and I started working on cars here, I was like, whoa, this is like they're brand new, man. You know what I mean?
Right.
Way better. Way better. All right, folks, we're going to take our last break here. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Fran, hold tight. We'll be with you as soon as we get back. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego and K-Praise.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. On the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. In the house with me is my co-host, Kevin Bowersock, and I am the Auto Man.
Yes.
What do you laugh for? And this is Auto Talk Radio. We appreciate y'all joining us this morning.
If we could have eggs and bacon, be better, but...
What?
We need a buffet here.
So, and what you're saying is that The answer, San Diego in their green room needs to have food for us every morning.
Yep.
That's probably not going to happen. Now they're going to make Brendan get here early. He's going to have to stop by.
Chef hat on.
I'll get the Starbucks installed and everything.
There you go. Oh, actually, if you got an espresso maker put in and you made me espresso, that's all I really need. I don't need the rest of it. I'm good. We'll be good. So let's just do that.
Eggs and bacon, protein.
Oh. All right. Kevin's hungry. Apparently, he's going to eat when we get done here with the show. So all good, though. All right, folks, I do want to remind you, the show is also brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries out there. We do not stock nor sell anything else at the West Automotive Group for one simple reason. They are the number one technician recommended battery in the world. If you need a battery for one of your vehicles, jump onto westautomotivegroup.com and make an appointment. We'll get you an Interstate battery installed for sure. Once again, we do not stock nor sell anything else because they are the highest quality batteries out there. If you need a battery for any other need, check them out at their storefronts, 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or in La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate Battery, a battery for every need. Okay, so we're talking about all kinds of things, but I want to grab Fran real quick in Oceanside. She's been waiting patiently. Good morning, Fran.
Morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm okay. And you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Very good. Okay. I have a little hybrid Toyota. And because I don't drive it very often, the batteries have died. And when I went to start it up, it lit up and everything. And then when the second time I went back to try it, it was just so dead that I have to open the door manually now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's in an awkward place, so I can't get to it to jump start it, and I don't know how to go in there and dig up the batteries to charge them up. Give me a couple of hints of what I can do.
How long has it's been? It's dead. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it just got dead yesterday.
Gotcha. So are you a AAA?
Before that, it had a little bit of a light, and it said goodbye and stuff like that, but now it's just dead.
Gotcha. Well, there's a couple options you have. Are you a AAA member by any chance?
No, unfortunately.
Okay. So that makes it kind of tough. Probably the best thing would be if you could access the car and remove what's called the start battery, which is a battery that's like a normal car. It's the little battery. That is the start battery for the vehicle. That battery's dead, obviously. And if it's that dead, it needs to be either removed and taken someplace and charged, or replaced if it's failed, or put what's called get a little trickle charger and put on it and let it sit for 24 hours and see if it comes back to life. That's the other option. You're really going to need somebody that's kind of familiar with doing so as far as that goes. It's inside a garage. Is that what you're telling me the car is?
No, it's right up to where the garage is. And then I got neighbors that are right there that are parked right next to me.
Oh, gotcha. Does your insurance have any kind of roadside assistance or anything like that?
No, I have AAA, but I dropped the AAA card where they come and they do that kind of stuff.
Oh, gotcha. The other thing, I mean, you can't almost any, you'll have to pay for it, but in any tow truck company will come out and jump start you. So if you don't have somebody that's available to do that. And then what you're going to want to do is get the vehicle. That battery's not going to charge itself. So if you get it jump started, you'd like to get it in and get it charged properly, and then the battery tested and make a determination. Does that battery need to be replaced? Does it not need to be replaced? That's what you're going to have to do. Okay.
Who would you recommend?
You're in Oceanside, correct? Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're not too far in Escondido. If you get the car over, we can give you a ride back and stuff. But it is going to have to sit on a charge for – it's going to have to be dropped off and set on the charge for 24 hours. So it's simple process. And then check the battery and once again. Or the other option is get it started, bring it over, and just replace the start battery on it and go from there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that could be done too. So, you without charging it properly – is slowly trying to bring it back to life, you're not going to know if the battery's good or not.
Oh, so that start battery, is that the one that's in the back seat underneath?
Nope, that is the hybrid battery. So that's another concern. But usually those will come back to life. The hybrid system will start to recharge that battery and all that if it's low. But the start battery is why the car won't turn on.
Okay, so where's the start battery at?
That's under the hood. That's under the hood of the car, where the engine is up there and all that, yes. So that's why
I opened the manual and it only showed that one battery under the back seat.
No, there's a start battery on that vehicle too. It's for starting up the gasoline engine.
Oh, and where is that located underneath the hood?
I don't know on that car if it's on the left or right side. It's hard for me to make a determination without actually seeing the vehicle. But that's what I'm saying. Uh-huh. If you call out, any tow truck company can come and they can jump start you. And that will get the car started. Okay, but that start battery, really, if it's that dead, needs to be tested or maybe replaced. Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All right.
I think I can do that.
All right. If you have any other questions, you can always call us at any of the stores, and we're happy to help you out. But yeah, that's what's going to have to happen. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for listening. You have a wonderful, safe weekend.
You too.
Bye bye now. Bye bye. So. Really good question there when it comes to start batteries on those. They can be difficult. Without that battery running or working properly, the car won't start up. And then the hybrid system can't activate and it won't charge the hybrid battery. So you got to start at one spot to get to the other. That's for sure. No question about it. Let's grab... I wasn't watching the call. Whoever's next. Grab whoever's next, Brandon. Who do I got here?
Tom.
Tom, how are you, Tom? Yeah.
Good.
Good morning. What do you got going on?
Good morning.
On?
Well, I have a 2010 E350.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it with 50,000 miles on it. It's got the 5.4 two-valve motor in it.
Okay.
And it's got a lift on it. I bought it with the lift. It's got 33-inch tires on it, 3-inch lift. Mm-hmm. I tow a travel trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I have noticed when I get on a grade, the transmission won't kick down. So, I mean, I lug up a hill. I know it's not good for the motor. And I don't know if it's some kind of computer thing because it's because of the bigger tires, but it will not shift down into second or whatever gear I need to go up a hill. It'll just lug.
Gotcha. Has this van been re-geared or no? The differential?
I don't believe so.
Yeah. So the problem with that is it really upsets the... And the other thing is if anybody's gone in and reprogrammed a different tire size too, because this transmission is electronically controlled on that vehicle, obviously, and it's confused. It doesn't know because of the change in the gear ratio. When you put bigger tires on it, you actually are changing the gear ratio also. So that's why I asked if the differential has been re-geared to compensate for that. Makes it kind of difficult on the vehicle. A couple options. You can manually downshift it. That's one option. What's that?
I was going to do that because if I didn't do it and I hit like 6,000 RPM, then I got more problems. So I was afraid to do that, but I could try that.
Well, you just got to do it, obviously, conscientiously and when it needs to be, and then upshift it when it needs to be. You have to pay attention. The other option is number one, to set the tire ratio on it. It can be programmed in on a lot of these vehicles. That will help the computer somewhat, but if there's been quite a tire change size and the gear ratio is way off on this vehicle, it's still going to struggle. So the only other option to that is re-gear it to compensate for the tires to get it back towards where it's about factory, you know, as far as that goes. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. So if you guys were to do the computer deal, how much would that, do you know how much that would run?
Well, that's not a lot of money to do if you set the tire size. So usually it takes about an hour of time, so just over $100. But I mean, I'm not sure that will totally compensate your thing, but while doing that, they can make a determination, because I don't know what gear ratio this vehicle has in it either. But that is one of the things that still needs to be done regardless.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking, but it's a little bit above my pay grade. I don't know how to do that stuff.
Well, you actually need the IDS, which is the factory Ford laptop that we use. So to do those kind of things, and even reset the pinion angle, you do that too. So all that has to be done by the factory laptop, though. That's the only way to do it. So I mean,
Side is in Escondido.
If you're in Oceanside, yes, Escondido and the Auto Parkway, and we have all that equipment there to do so.
And I'm sorry, the name of your business?
Well, it's the West Automotive Group. So if you just go to westautomotivegroup.com and then click on the Escondido location, which is West Escondido Automotive and Transmission, and you can do it all through the website there. Set up an appointment if you like.
Okay, I'll do that, and then we'll start with that computer. And if that doesn't work, then I guess I got to save my money for some new gears.
Yeah, and why it's there, they'll also take a quick look at it for you, too, and see. Usually they have a gear ratio tag on it, and we can take a look at that and compare to the tire size and what was on there and give you more advice on if something else needs to be done for sure. Okay?
Yeah, if I had my choice, I would just lower it back down to stock. I bought it like this because they're really hard to find, and it was really clean.
Yeah.
But it would cost me a ton of money to take it and put it back to stock, so...
Yeah, it'd be cheaper if you have to actually just re-gear it, to be honest with you. But is it this one is not four-wheel drive, right?
No, it's not four-wheel.
Good. Yeah, okay. That's way cheaper to re-gear than a four-wheel drive for sure. So, okay, cool. Yeah, let us know. All We're happy to help you out.
Appreciate it.
Take care. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for being a listener. Bye now.
Thank you.
So, good question. Oh, you missed it. You went to the restroom, didn't you?
Yes.
I saw you leave. Anyway, it left me here all alone.
Sometimes nature's calls, though, and it's...
Okay. All right, all good. All right, let's grab Cindy and Ramona real quick. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. How about you?
Good. Happy New Year. I have a general question. I love your show, but I have a 95 RAV4. And I'm having difficulty, my mechanic and I are having difficulty finding a part for it. And I was wondering in general, if you know where I could find parts for that vehicle anymore.
There's a lot of places usually, but what kind of part are we looking for?
Oh, I don't have the part number, of course.
So no, but I mean, what kind of, do you know what it is, the name of it?
It's some sort of hose to the steering.
Power
steering hose, pressure hose, maybe?
Probably,
If you can't find one of those, there's actually places that actually make high pressure hoses.
Yeah, so what you do with it, if you can't find the hose and it's leaking, there are companies that we use that you could pull the hose off, send it out, they'll replace the rubber parts on them. And that's usually all that goes bad on a high pressure, and they'll put new crimps on them and they send it back to you, and it's just like a new one. So
absolutely. I knew you guys would know the answer.
Yeah, and there's a place in Escondido that we use. It's just up the street from our Escondido store that does a lot of that stuff. So if for some reason, you cannot actually find a new hose assembly, it can be pulled off and the metal parts reused and they'll replace the rubber part on it. Okay?
Okay.
And if you have any questions, you can always call one of our locations and they can give you some direction in that.
All right. I really appreciate you guys. Thanks.
No problem. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Take care.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
So that's a great question.
Yeah.
That's one of these things now. And you know what? That reminds me. We're seeing more and more. So there's like there was a 96 Jeep that we that the Miramar location, we were looking up some stuff for and a bunch of parts for the transmission for that Jeep came up as not available any longer. Obviously we know we can reach out and find good used stuff here and there and stuff like that to fix those, but I mean there's a lot of that stuff now with parts that are becoming harder to get.
Chrysler's always been good about that. I mean, you know, they can be funny too, because like we 97 Prowler, they just started discontinuing parts last year. But maybe if you had a 2009 truck, you couldn't get the wiring harness for it anymore.
Yeah, just depends. Sometimes they stop making stuff, and when they run out of stock of it, they just call it good.
Yeah, because they're not selling enough of it, and it's not worth warehousing it. I mean, let's face it, is it a corporation? They take all that stuff into consideration when they say, oh, dump it.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
if it's something they're selling a lot of, I'm presume they continue to make it.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
But then again, there's companies out there that pick up on that. I mean, so there's companies out there that make wiring harnesses and stuff, and they do a pretty good job at it, too. So, you know, it's.
And actually, if you need it bad enough, you can have a one-off made. There's several companies that'll do that for you. It's expensive.
Yeah.
But they'll make a harness for you or whatever. So
to say the companies that make wiring harnesses.
Correct. Correct. All right. Let's grab Alan real quick. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
How are you doing, my friend?
So I'm doing good. Doing good. It's a beautiful day here in San Diego County, East County. That's for sure.
Nice. Yes, it is.
Yep. So I've got a friend of mine that has a Chrysler 300. It's got the Hemi motor in it, and it's about 63,000 miles on the drive line, on the car. And basically, the car started just running really, really rough, and it stopped. It's being diagnosed as basically the motor's broken to the place where it needs to be replaced, because I guess there's a I'm going to say a solenoid or a sensor or something that adjusts how it's supposed to deliver oil to certain parts of the motor, or the timing changes, and then to make it run a little more cost effectively type of thing. And basically that went south and basically broke the engine. Sounds like it's in pretty bad shape. What do you know about that kind of stuff?
Well, I know a lot about it, but my question would be, there's solenoids that control oil flow for cam timing and advancement. But I don't know how that solenoid would make the whole engine go bad.
Well, unless it's something happening with the timing chain and it broke something. So
yeah,
I'm just reading between the lines here. Is all I'm doing.
I don't know if it's been diagnosed properly or not. So that's I guess where it would lead me to wonder with that statement. Could there have been something that happened that caused something inside the engine that damaged the internal? And sure, absolutely. I'd really need more information to make that determination, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, these folks are, they're elderly, and they've done a good job of maintaining the thing.
That's really low mileage to have an engine fail, though, on one of those, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was sort of suspect of the shop, so I told them that they needed to get it over to Carl Berger to get another diagnosis of it, and that's what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, heard you guys.
Gotcha. Did they say it needs a motor? Did the dealer say it?
They haven't gotten the diagnosis back from them yet.
Okay, good. I'm curious.
This just happened recently.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear exactly what they come back with. Yes, in that scenario, if you'd not convinced that it's a quality diagnosis, a second opinion is not a bad idea, something like that. So
right.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I sort of know of this shop that a lot of little shops like to chase problems with replacing parts, and hopefully they find something that makes it work.
Well, you make a good point, because let me tell you this. All I can tell you, there's a reason the quality of technicians that we hire at the West Automotive Group, and that is because what we do see is cars like this that come in, and maybe there is a cam actuator that's just bad, some people will, if you replace the whole engine, it will fix the problem. It's just an expensive way to go about it. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
But I mean, we are qualified that we go in and we'll replace the actuator if that's the only thing bad. Now the car runs just like new. So I get the point that you're making, and that is a possibility. We have seen that before. So I would love to know what they actually come up with at the dealer go from there, because that was going to be my recommendation. If you're not real comfortable with the diagnosis you have, get it to somebody like us or obviously over to the dealer. They should be able to diagnose it properly.
Well, my default was the dealership, only because my apologies, my friends, I don't listen to the radio in the morning often. On Saturday morning, but I'm going to start doing so. I'm going to start using the app and hearing you guys. You're very informative, and I know you guys are giving, from my background, you guys give pretty sound advice, and I appreciate what you guys do there for all the folks that have a hard time figuring out what this machine's supposed to do for them.
great. Well, we appreciate you listening, number one. And number two, we're both master certified technicians. And that's one of the reasons we do this, so that the information that we give you is straight from, you know, quality. That's what we want, like we'd give our family members. So I appreciate you turning in. And hey, when you find out what's going on with that car, a second opinion, like I said, and the dealer should be able to give you an honest second opinion there. And let us know what you find out.
Right.
Look forward to it.
Okay, will do. Hopefully I'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Look forward to it. Hey, man, have a safe week and have a great weekend.
You too. Be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye. So anyway, good stuff.
I know. That was nice to hear.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the things why we do this, is because we want to help people out. I mean, that's one of the things in our information. We don't make this stuff up. We are both master certified technicians without question. Kevin's a master transmission builder and diagnoser also. Yeah, that's why we're here. So we try to help. And if we don't have an answer, we'll tell you we don't have an answer, and we'll try to get you the right answer. Anyway, folks, we're going to have to wrap this up. We appreciate you joining us this morning on Auto Talk here on K-Praise and The Answer San Diego. Man, some great questions this week. Keep them coming. We are here every single week.
And just like the year, the time went bing, gone.
It did. And we want you to, everybody out there, keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. And make sure you check out our podcasts. If you missed one of us, go to westautomotivegroup.com. We're here to help you with your vehicles in San Diego. Until next week, this has been Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego and K-Praise.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com, and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.